with that. Where you big girls going, man? Y'all not staying for big church? All right. I'm only 11. Peyton's in the youth. All right. Tell you what, one day I may just go to children's church. Y'all be looking up here, where is the pastor? Who's preaching? He's in children's church. It's all right. That's all right. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to pick up kind of where we left off last Sunday night. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll begin reading here in verse 11 and take it through verse 13. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. This will be the last time we get you up before the invitation today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 11. Have you found that today?
Amen.
Amen. Do you have a Bible today?
Amen.
Pick up a hymnal like you brought one if you didn't. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. What do I have it on my phone? Well, man, bust that phone out and get to first. I never could with the phone thing. I never could get there in time. I would have to have one of them giant iPad things. Amen. With the Bible on it, with the big old buttons on it, clink, clink. I might as well just turn to it. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 11, the Word of God reads this. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples or examples in your translation. Now all these things, what are all the things? Verses 5 through 10. We'll look at that in a moment. Now all these things happened unto them, happened unto the Israelites, the Hebrews, for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And then verse 13, this verse 13 drips with God's grace. Drips with it. I mean, it just oozes the grace of God. It oozes His affection for us. It oozes His love, His character, His care for His church, for His fallen ones, for those that are saved. It just drips of grace. Look at it, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Say faithful today. God is faithful. Amen to that. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for a second swipe, a second swing at this passage that we started last Sunday night. Father God, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to your Scripture. That, Lord, we would not allow the troubles of the day, we would not allow the sins of yesterday to keep your word out of our hearts and out of our minds. May we begin even now to check those things off, those things that we've offended you with, those sins that we've committed this last week, this last month. Lord, even as we go through the prayer time now, if you bring something to our mind, may we confess it, agreeing with you that it is wrong, and may we repent of it right now. Right now. May we have a clear conscience to hear the Word of God. May God's Word divide us and show us where we need to change. Lord, if there's one here today that is lost, one here today that is just playing church, one here today that is just going through the motions of religiosity and religion, may this be the day of their salvation. Oh Lord, may your gospel through your Word, may it dive deep down into us. And Lord, may we apply it to our hearts. And may our testimony be strengthened. May our discipleship be furthered. May the church be bathed with the Word of God. And may she go forward today, taking a step for you to bring glory and honor to your name. We're thankful for this time, and we're thankful that we can gather to worship you in spirit and in truth. And God's people said,
amen.
Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Now, this passage begins with a word of admonition. In fact, it says admonition in the passage. An admonition is a strong warning. I mean, he is warning the Corinthians to not blow their spiritual race that God has called them to, that the Apostle Paul has led them in the gospel to be saved. He's trying to tell them, don't blow your race. Don't blow it by disobedience. Don't blow it by lack of faith. This passage points all the way back to verses 5 through 10. Let's just look at that quickly so that we know what the context is. Verse 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 reads this, "But with many of them," talking about the Israelites, the Hebrews, "but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat, drink, and rose up to play." We've explained that word play. There's a lot more to that than just the word play. "Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." Paul's giving here a historic recounting of the sinful woes of the Hebrews wandering in the desert. These are folks that did not get the prize. They didn't get to enter the promised land. Many Hebrews being disqualified here because of sin. They didn't get to go into that promised land. And our prayer is this. Our hope is this. Our want to is this. We want to learn from the Hebrews. Man, we want to learn from them. And certainly the Corinthians' past mistakes. Kind of like my youngest daughter has learned. She's learned from her older siblings, three of them. She knows what buttons not to push. She knows what things not to do. She's been spanked the least of all four of them. Why? Because she has a great ability to learn from their past mistakes. Amen? Friend, I want to tell you, we got to have some of that in us. We got to look at these that have gone before us, and we have got to learn from their past mistakes. If we don't, we will find ourselves under the judgment and under the discipline of God. God disciplines those He loves. He chastens everyone He calls a son. Hadn't had any discipline in your life as a Christian? You might want to ask yourself if you're a Christian. Because you're either perfect, I don't think you are. There was only one, or you're not saved. Right? He disciplines those He loves. Amen? Well, like the Hebrews in the Old Testament and the Corinthians in the New Testament, we can forfeit our blessing. We can give it up. We can forfeit our rewards in heaven. We can give it up. We can give away our effectiveness in the Lord's service right now here on earth if our overconfidence and presumption takes root, takes hold of us, and we take our liberties, we take our rights, we take our freedoms too far, and we fall into disobedience and sin and have a lack of faith, friend. Now, what are you saying, Pastor? Not saying you'll lose your salvation. Those of you that want to make it by the skin of your chinny chin chin or the skin of your teeth, you're still going to get there. But friend, you're not going to have anything to lay down at Jesus' feet. Not going to have the joy of worshiping in heaven and laying those crowns and those rewards down at His feet. We don't preach this today because it's all about the here and now. It's not about the hereafter. You're going to spend more time in the hereafter than you are in the here and now. So you might as well hear about a little bit of the hereafter. Amen? We'll not lose our salvation, but we can easily lose our virtue. We can easily lose our usefulness and become disqualified in the race of the Christian life. We said last Sunday night, and I'll just briefly review you. Point number one last Sunday night was when we become self-confident, when we become prideful, we should be careful lest we fall. That's what verse 12 is telling us. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." This timeless principle, this beautiful principle of God is expressed by Paul. It's articulated in the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And I want to tell you, church, I want to tell you, dear friend, it is easy to substitute confidence in ourselves for confidence in the Lord. We begin to think that we're all that. We begin to think that we've really got it figured it out. We begin to think that we are just doing great on our own, friend. We are in trouble when we begin to think like that. The Bible is filled with examples, filled with them, of the danger of overconfidence. We looked at a few last Sunday night, Haman, the book of Esther, Mordecai. We looked at Sennacherib, king of Assyria, finding 100,000-something troops dead the following morning of his overconfidence. We see it in Peter the apostle with Jesus denying Christ, saying that he wouldn't, that he would follow Jesus to death. He would follow Jesus to prison. We see it in the churches of Sardis and Laodicea. I want to tell you, friends, what happens when Christians become self-confident, and it's easy for us to fall into self-confidence if we don't keep a check on it, what happens to us, we become less dependent upon God, which we're already in trouble. When we do that, we become less dependent on God's Word. We become less dependent and influenced by the Spirit of God, and we become careless in our living. And friend, when we become careless in our living, look out. Because when the flesh takes hold and takes control, we act just like a lost man or woman or person or whatever. When we become self-confident, prideful, we should be careful lest we fall. Secondly, when we are tempted, write it down, when we are tempted, victory is always available to the Christian. We have victory, friends. Verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able," man. Victory is available to us. See, Paul is attempting to encourage the Corinthians. And despite what some of you are thinking today, I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to encourage you, man. Paul is attempting to encourage the Corinthians who, after receiving, they've been receiving this teaching, verses 5 through 10 that we just read. Some of these Corinthians are bordering on the mental state of spiritual depression. Man, are you kidding me? He just took them through all this stuff that happened to the Hebrews. All of these people that didn't get to go into the promised land. Are you kidding me? We've got all of this pagan worship here in Corinth. This temple of Aphrodite, these temple prostitutes coming down every evening. All these pagan and false deities all around in this corrupt, pagan, going to hell in a handbasket world. We as a young, small Corinthian church, how are we going to make it? Paul's trying to encourage them. He's trying to help them out. The Corinthians were no doubt wondering how they could possibly avoid all of their cultural and individual pitfalls. And Paul just described and illustrated in the previous verses how many Hebrews had succumbed to their pitfalls. Let me ask you a question here, because it ping-pongs around every time the pastor just keeps pushing. The pastor just keeps pushing the Word of God. The pastor doesn't preach topical messages. He takes a book and he preaches through it, and preaches through one on Wednesday, and he preaches through one on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And that's different from probably the majority of churches in the area. And so it begins to ping-pong around. You know, it sounds like a lot of judgmentalism going on over there at New Hope Baptist Church. Let me ask you the question. The only judgmentalism going on is God's Word in your heart. If God's Word's judging you, if that weight's on your toes, if that shoe seems to fit today, that's between you and God. Pastor Steve's not judging you. Pastor Steve's just preaching the Bible to you. Preaching the Bible to you. Let me ask you the question. Was Paul being judgmental here in this passage? He was pointing out their faults, though, church. He was pointing out their faults. He was warning them that they were heading down a wrong path. Are you sure he's not being judgmental? Because let me tell you what I've been accused of for 20 years, warning people and pointing out the errors of their ways. Being judgmental. Being judgmental. Well, I guess if the shoe fits, I'll wear two of them. I'm going to preach the Bible. Right? And so when you hear that judgmental speak come out, Well, Pastor, you know, you really ought to just preach John 3:16 every Sunday. Just preach an evangelistic message to us. We're all saved. None of us will really be convicted that are saved. We can high-five one another and go eat some Mexican food. But you won't grow, church. You won't grow in the Word. You got to be brought up in the disciples' doctrine. You got to get off the milk and get on to the meat. Amen? And that's all we're saying. We're just going to preach the Bible. Amen? All right. So how could ourselves, how could we avoid the pitfalls? I mean, the pitfalls out there. You've got one of them crazy devices you hang off your hip called a phone. Man, that thing's got more power than the first computer I ever played with. Hanging right here off your hip. Right? Man, if you've got one of those things, if you've got a TV with all them channels on it, oh, man, if you go to work with worldly people, go to school with worldly people, get out in the world with worldly people, there's a lot of what? There's a lot of pitfalls, friend. How in the world do you avoid the pitfalls? By understanding a couple of things. First of all, by understanding some things about Jesus. About Jesus. Can we say Jesus today? Can we say it with a smile on our face? Jesus. Amen. Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, the Word of God reads this, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." You got any infirmities today? Well, I know I've got a load full. Do you have some? Some infirmities? Do you know that Jesus feels our pain? He feels our hurt today. Right? That's what that verse says. "Be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Hebrews chapter 2:18 says, "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." Are you getting the picture of Christ here? How could the Corinthians, how could ourselves avoid the pitfalls? Well, first of all, by understanding some things about Jesus, but secondly, by understanding some things about temptation, which the passage really kind of keys on here in verse 13. The basic meaning of temptation is simply to test. Everybody say test. Test. The basic meaning of temptation is simply to test or prove, and has no negative connotation to it. If we resist the temptation, if we resist it in God's power, the power of the person of the Holy Spirit, we resist the temptation, then the temptation is a test that proves our faithfulness. Gives us a testimony. Gives us a word of encouragement to pass on. I know you're struggling here. I've been struggling in the same place. Let me tell you how I made it through. Not that I'm better than you. This is just how I made it through. May how I made it through help you make it through. Right? If we do not resist the temptation, then the temptation becomes a solicitation to sin. Yeah. And the devil gets excited then. And the demonic and the principalities of the air, they begin to beat their drum then. See, point number three is this. We have a choice. You have a choice. I have a choice if the temptation is a test from God or an inducement to sin. Everybody say choice. Friend, you've got one today when it comes to the temptations of life. See, our response to the test, to the temptations, proves our faithfulness or unfaithfulness. How we react to the problems of life. How you react to marital problems. How you react to money problems. How you react to problems at the job. How you react to problems in the school. How you react to problems in the neighborhood. How you react to the drama in life. Everybody's got drama. A lot of drama going on around here. We record all that stuff on social media. This is the drama. We tweet it. We Facebook it. We MySpace it. We Instagram it, right? That's what we do with it, the drama. The good drama and the bad drama. I mean, we advertise that drama. How we respond to that stuff. How we respond to the successes of life. Friend, how we respond when we're in sin. You know, because sin just leads to what? More sin. Yeah. More temptation, which is an inducement to sin when we don't withstand it, right? How we respond when in sin. How we respond when tempted to sin. You know what James advises? James chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. It says that we are to express gratitude. We are to express gratitude for the testing, for the temptations of life. When's the last time you've done that? Express some gratitude for the testing and the temptations of life. That's what James tells us to do. That's what the Word of God says to do. Is that being judgmental? I don't think that's being judgmental. I think it's just being biblical. That's what he said. Well, I ain't doing that. But do that. Amen? Do that. Many of us, on the other hand, this is what happens to us when we become tempted or tested. We get depressed. We get cynical. We get negative. We get bitter. We get angry. And we even, if we're not careful, get an accusatory spirit towards Almighty God. And the Bible says He can't tempt us to evil, but He will test our faithfulness. Our choice means the difference. Let me tell you something. We have a choice if the temptation is a test from God or an inducement to sin. Our response to the test temptations proves our faithfulness or unfaithfulness. Our prayer life. Our prayer life determines if we take our choices seriously. Say prayer life. Well, I hope you have one. Hope you have one. Because you need to be praying about this part of your life. Your life. Your prayer life. You need to be praying about it. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says we should ask God when He was questioned on how to pray. We should ask God in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Or amen, depending on where you come from. Amen, amen. You say tomato, I say tomato. Whatever, right? Verily truth, right? The very end of that. Evil, in the Greek, is better translated, the evil one, referring here to Satan. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. All right? In other words, when we pray, in other words, we should pray if we're not praying. In other words, we should pray that God will not allow the tests, would not allow the tests to become temptations in the sense of an inducement to evil. The idea is this: Lord, stop us before Satan can turn your test into an inducement to sin called a temptation. Stop it, Lord. See, our prayer life determines if we take our choices seriously. The lack of your prayer life about your own personal tests and temptations, that says a lot about you. Now, is that being judgmental? I don't think so. I think that's being very helpful. See, our perspective, this is what I love about God. It's what I love about His Word. Our perspective should be God is for us, not against us in the area of temptation. I would go to management training at Southwest Airlines. They would send me over to the school of up-and-coming managerial training when I worked for the airline, Southwest Airlines. And I would come back and they would say, well, Stephen, what did they teach you over there? You know, some of the higher-ups above me and some of the people that work for me. What did they teach you over there? I said, I'll bottom line it for you. We're working together, not against one another. Amen? That's every managerial training class I've ever been to. We're working for a common goal, a common cause. God is working, leading, setting up your life and the circumstances of your life so that you can succeed in the spiritual life. Well, we forget that. Man, our perspective ought to be radically changed for some of us. Our perspective should be God is for us, not against us in the area of temptation. Based off of 13b, the second half of verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, but God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Based off this passage, no believer can claim, you cannot claim today that you were overwhelmed that you were blindsided, that you were overwhelmed by temptation, or that the devil made me do it. No, I know what made you do it. Same thing that makes me do it. It's my sinful flesh. That's what made you do it. Yeah, your choice. No one, not even Satan, can make us sin. No temptation is inherently stronger than our spiritual resources. This word trumps it all. The person of the Holy Spirit trumps it all. Jesus trumps it all. People sin because they willingly do it. Is that being judgmental? I hope it's not being judgmental. I mean, if it is, maybe you repent of your attitude. Maybe you got a wrong attitude when it comes to what judgmentalism is. The Christian has his Heavenly Father's help in resisting temptation. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Job chapter 5, verse 19. Job 5, 19, resist. He shall deliver thee in six troubles. He shall deliver thee in six troubles. Yea, in seven, there shall no evil touch thee. Well, I love that about my God. He is for me, not against me. He's trying to help me. See, when our faithfulness is tested, we have God's own faithfulness as our response. God's own faithfulness, not mine. Because my faithfulness is waning sometimes. But boy, His faithfulness is always true. Point number four, if you're keeping up with us today, point number four is simply this. We have a God that knows our own personal limits. In testing. We have a God that knows our own personal limit of testing. That third part of verse 13. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Amen? That you may be able to bear it. I love it. I love it. I love it. God's response when we pray, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Oh, Lord, keep the devil and the demonic from turning the test into a temptation. Stop it. I want to make it. I want to go through it. I want to have victory over it. God's response when we pray that is, I will not let you, church member. I will not let you, Pastor Stephen. I will not let you, deacon. I will not let you, lady here today. I will not let you, child here today. I will not let you experience a test that you're not able to meet. That's good news. In John chapter 18, beginning in verse 4, taking it through verse 9, when the armed mob, the officers, came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus asked the officers from the chief priest twice, whom they had come for, who was designated on their arrest order. What warrant had they? Whose name was on the papers? After they answered for the second time, Jesus of Nazareth. This is what Jesus said. John chapter 18, verse 8. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Let these go their way. John explains that Jesus prevented the disciples from being arrested with him in order, John chapter 18, 9 reads, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, have I lost none. The disciples, guess what? They weren't ready for that. The disciples weren't ready to be arrested before Jesus' crucifixion. The disciples were not ready to be incarcerated and flogged and beaten and tortured. They weren't ready for that. But after his resurrection, after his ascension back to the right hand of the Father, in the first century of the young church, as best we know from church history, and church tradition and the studies of antiquity, the 11 disciples died a martyr's death. The last one of them, John, is believed to have escaped a boiling pot of oil. They were going to deep fat fry John. He gets out of it. And he's exiled for life on the island of Patmos. All of the disciples went through persecution after the resurrection, went after his ascension, went through imprisonment, went through countless hardships for the sake of the gospel. They weren't ready then, but boy, they got ready, didn't they? And God knew when they were ready. God knew. And wouldn't allow them to be tested until they could handle the test. That's my God. That's your God. The last point I want to give to you before we close today is simply this. We escape temptation. Y'all been waiting for that one, huh? How do we escape? I want to just pull the ripcord and be going out of that. I want to just hit the red button, that Staples button that says easy on it. Easy, stop. I want to get off now. Right? We escape temptation by passing through it. Oh, man. I thought you were going to tell me something different. No. I can only tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. And we would like to say, can we just put a period there and mark the rest of that out? No. We've got to take all the Word of God. But I just like that word escape. Can I circle and underline that? Yeah, and then point a line to the rest of that verse. Yeah. Make a way of escape, but ye may, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Everybody say bear it. Uh-huh. See, the way of escape from every temptation is the same. It's exactly the same. This is not complicated. It's exactly the same. The way of escape is through. It's through it. I don't know. Whether we have a test by God to prove righteousness or a temptation by Satan to induce us to sin, there is only one way we can pass the test. We escape temptation not by getting out of it, but by passing through it. God does not take us out. He sees us through to bear it. Let's go, Jesus. Let's go. Let's get it. God's own Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, church, to be tempted after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. How agreeable do you think you would be having no food for 40 days and 40 nights? Jesus fasted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And then the devil came to tempted him in three different ways. And Jesus did not leave. He did not leave the wilderness. He did not stop the exercise. Jesus stayed there until all three temptations were over. That's what Jesus did. Jesus met the temptations head on with the Word of God. In the power of the Spirit of God, Jesus escaped the temptation by enduring them in His Father's power by the Word of God. That's what the church has got to do. And we don't want to do that today. We want to go to churches that tell us that we don't have to do that. We go to churches where this ain't even talked about. We don't want to think like that, man. There might be conviction in the room. Somebody might get saved. Truly converted, have a life-changing experience, pour their sin-junky stuff out on the altar, and go back healed up. Go on for the Lord, amen? See, God provides three ways for us to endure temptation. If you're taking notes, prayer, trust, and focusing on Christ. Number one, we must pray. What we pray the Lord's Prayer, of course, right? Deliver us. Mark 14:38 encourages us, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Oh, our dying flesh needs prayer. If we do not pray, a test will inevitably turn into a temptation. And you won't turn the pornography off. You'll go right to it. Whether it be on the TV or the computer or the crap hanging on the wall where you work. Right? You won't turn it off. You'll go right to it. Our first defense in a test is to pray. It is to turn to our Heavenly Father and put the matter in His hands. It is to cry out for help. Prayer. Amen. Secondly, we must trust. We can't just say the words. We got to believe. We got to trust in Jesus. We must trust when we pray. We must pray believing that the Lord will answer and help us. Do you believe that He's going to help you? Do you believe that He wants to help you? Do you believe that He can help you? That He will help you? Some of you do. Some of you are on the fence. Friend, I want to tell you, He's here to help. He's here to help get you through. We must trust when we pray. We must pray believing that the Lord will answer and help us. We also trust that whatever the origin of the trial, God has allowed it to come for our good, to prove our faithfulness. You know what the Lord needs today? More faithful churches like this one. Like this one. He needs more faithful Christians like there are here. He needs more faithful people that have stood by the stuff. That's what the world needs. Well, we got to show them that when we're out there. Man, we got to lift that banner up, not in pride, but hey, y'all come on because God's done something in us. God's done something for us. We were broken. We were despised, and He lifted us out of a mire of sin and saved us. He gave us His Word and His Spirit. And a gift, and we're going forward for the Lord. Amen? We're lifting Him high on up. And then finally, we must trust, we must pray, we must focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus has got to be on your mind. On your mind. You got to have Christ in there. How do I get Christ in there? Bible, prayer. Come to church and be reminded by the crazy preacher to have Christ on your mind. That's how you keep Christ on your mind. You got to have Him on your mind. Man, you got to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 and 4 reads this. Listen to it. For consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. We've had some tough times, but we're all still here. None of us have gone to a wooden cross, have we? I think when we're most struggling, or I'll bear my own sin, I most struggle when my focus on Christ is the least. I struggle the most. The tests become temptation. Instead of proving faithfulness when I'm not focused on Him, when I'm not praying in faith, my flesh gets the upper hand. Maybe it's just me. Think it through. Christ endured more than we could ever be called on to endure. He understands our trials and He's able to take us through them. The escape is through. Amen. That's where the escape is. In Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, it's an old book, beautiful work. In John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, two of the characters, Christian and Hopeful. These two old boys, they fall asleep. They fall asleep in a field belonging to a giant by the name of Despair. Well, the giant finds them asleep in his field. Well, he's a giant. He takes them into custody, Christian and Hopeful. And he throws them into a dungeon that he has in Doubting Castle. So this is the giant Despair. He's gotten Christian and Hopeful, and he's thrown them into the dungeon of Doubting Castle. Well, the giant, he converses with his wife on what to do with Christian and Hopeful. And she says, don't give them any food or water. She says, why don't you go give them a good beating? So he commences to go down to the stinky, dark dungeon, and he beats despair. Despair beats Christian and hopeful. Beats them senseless. Well, after the beating's over, Christian and hopeful are kind of nursing their own wounds. Despair told them that they should contemplate suicide because they were never going to get out of the stinky dungeon of Doubting Castle. Well, Christian and hopeful, they began to discuss. And after the giant leaves, the two companions, Christian and hopeful, discuss what they should do. Finally, Christian remembers. Christian has an epiphany. He goes, I've got a key in my pocket. I got a key down here in my pocket. I have a key in my bosom called promise. And Christian says, let me tell you, hopeful, what the key of promise will do. He says, I am persuaded it will open any lock in Doubting Castle. And hopeful says, well, get it out. Let's try. And so Christian and hopeful take the key of promise and they unlock the door. And they escape. And they come to the next door. And they unlock it. And they get all the way to the gate that surrounds the fence of Doubting Castle. That's a big lock. Throws in the key of promise. And turns it. And that one unlocks as well. Hopeful and Christian leave the castle of despair, the giant and his wife behind, and then they went on and came to the king's highway again. Well, Christian and hopeful, what's in your pockets today? Because let me tell you what despair wants to do to us. Let me tell you what the giants of sin want to do to us. They want to beat us down. I think the key might be this guy right here. I think that's the key. With the power of the Holy Spirit that opens all the locks in this castle. Amen? I think it is. And if you're here today and you don't have the key, Jesus, you know what? Jesus has got an unlimited supply of them. He's got one with your name on it. You're here today and you're lost. You don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. A few moments, I'm going to pray. Brother Jeremiah and Karen are going to be up here on the platform. After I get through praying, I'm going to be down here on the floor. And that's your opportunity. If you know in your heart of hearts, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. There's some things you believe about the Bible, but the Bible really doesn't make sense to you. It doesn't make sense to you because you've not been infilled with the person of the Holy Spirit, and these things are spiritually discerned that we're talking about today. Friend, we want you to get it. We want you to have the key. We want you to have a victorious Christian life. We want you to go forward. Go for God. Have Him lifted up high in your heart and in your life, in your work profession, in your marriage, in your home life, with your grandkids. We want Jesus lifted up. Amen? Jesus wants to be lifted up. Will you let Him save you today? If you'll meet me down front, I'll share with you in God's Word what it says about sin, what it says about Jesus, what it says about how you can be saved today. You have a choice. You have a choice. We pray that you make the right one. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for its inerrancy. How it has no mixture of error. How it is so truthful and honest. How it helps us. And washes us and hones us for this Christian walk that we find ourselves on, this path of discipleship. Lord, I pray for those that are saved here this morning. that have not ever thought about this battle of temptation that they find themselves in. This realm of testing that comes across, that comes upon us. Jesus means these things as a test of faithfulness. Satan and the demonic mean these things as an inducement to sin. There may be some here today that have never thought that through. Heard this passage before, but never have had it preached. People saved today are not praying. Not praying when it comes to this area of temptation. Lord, help us not squander the race you've called us to. Help us live it, run it. And even though we're going to struggle and fall and stumble, help us finish well. I believe this is part of it. I believe your word teaches us that we've got to get a handle on the temptations and the tests of life. Awaken your church members to this, Lord, that need it awakened in their hearts. For those that are living this and are praying the Lord's Prayer and are trusting you and are focused on you, oh, we're still going to struggle and we're still going to fall. But we're going to know when to get up, dust ourselves off, keep our sin accounts short, and get back running the race for you. Lord, help us be affirmed and encouraged in this today. Help us know that the grace of God is on our side. And we are more than conquerors in Christ. We are victorious today. So Lord, my prayer is for those that are lost. My prayer is for those that are struggling. And my prayer is for those that are hitting a good stride. May you meet us where we're at. May you help us go forward for you. Lord, there may be others here today that need to come join the church, or others here today that just need to come and pray. May we be responsive, obedient, submissive to the moving of your Holy Spirit. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. You